Welcome to Tech Bytes, a 15-minute conversation on the latest in enterprise networking and IT. Our sponsor today is AppNeta, which provides network performance and end-user experience monitoring. And we're going to talk about monitoring at 100 gigabits per second. Our guests are Adam Edwards, he's Chief Customer Officer, and Mike Hustler, VP of Engineering at AppNeta. Adam and Mike, welcome to the podcast. And to get us started, can you give us a brief overview of the company?
Certainly. We're a performance monitoring service for networks designed to give you insight into the user experience from your locations to applications, no matter where they're hosted. We do this by combining four different monitoring approaches. We start with the end-to-end application delivery path. We add synthetic web transactions, as well as live packets from the wire and flows. So we call this 4D monitoring. So you get insights into the network and application performance from where your users are.
Good thing about this is because it's the any, it works in the cloud, it works on-prem, it works in the WAN, it works on wireless and on campus. So that's that idea of any, all approaches cover all the potential networks that you might use. Although we're going to focus on high-speed networking today.
Yeah. So what are the challenges with network performance and user experience monitoring as we're seeing network throughputs increase, particularly some organizations are starting to roll out 100 gig circuits?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of demand across our enterprise customers. I'd say the challenges start with some really simple economics. They extend to user experience and network team efficiencies. But what we see is when customers deploy higher capacity WAN links like 25, 40, and 100 gig, they're investing substantially because there's a critical app that has to be delivered to someone, either internal users or customers or both. And when you're looking at these high capacities, you're looking at big budgets. So we know bandwidth is getting cheaper, but a single 100 gig circuit, you know, we're looking at tens of thousands of dollars per month for a single circuit. And typically you don't see just one deployed. There's probably a redundant twin. Or if you're deploying multiple data centers, you're going to see multiple 100 gig circuits. So that adds up fast.
Yeah, that's really fast. And the interesting thing about 100 gig is if you're trying to do a packet capture at that speed, you have a whole problem with storing that much data. Maybe you're not running at 100 gigabits per second. Maybe you're running 40, a sub rating at 40 or 50. That's still just a phenomenal amount of data. You have to have tools that can capture at that speed, like literally in between the gap there, you're talking 9 nanoseconds between packets at 100 gig, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you have to pick up the packet, read it, and do something with it before the next one arrives 9 nanoseconds later. So there's substantial technology being applied here to make this possible.
Absolutely. I think that traditional approach of passive monitoring or streaming to disk gets impractical and expensive. So I think there's a better way. I think we know that there are passive and active approaches in the marketplace. We think that different vendors will make you choose one or the other. We like them to coexist. We're here today to talk about our 100 gig active monitoring, but we do support both active and passive approaches.
Briefly, could you sort of break out the difference between active and passive, what that means?
Well, passive is when you're actually listening and looking at the traffic on the wire. It's kind of like gauges on your car. If you want to understand how fast you are going, what's happening on your network today, and historically, you can look at and capture all of that traffic and analyze it. That tells you that there are actual problems, and it gives you a hint into the user experience, but it doesn't necessarily tell you what the performance capability of the infrastructure is. That's rather limiting. Your speedometer and how fast you're going today doesn't tell you when you need to leave to catch a flight.
So, right. Okay.
I don't need to find out after I was speeding that I was speeding. I need to know right now.
Right.
So you've got all these packets streaming in and you're doing some sort of mystical magic here to be able to give me continuous monitoring as opposed to batch monitoring or something like that?
Yeah. So we basically approach the application performance monitoring in the same way that we've done and that we've always done at 100 gigabits per second.
Right.
So it's the continuous monitoring that's key so that customers can know exactly when the issue happens or when the change happens. And we've embraced that as Adam says. So the probe that we're measuring is taking the exact same path that our customers' applications are running through the network. Right. The challenge though is that as you're running alongside of these customers' critical applications, we can't interfere. I mean, we're a multi-office company. We use Zoom and GoToMeeting and VoIP. And so we know exactly what how bad it gets when something goes wrong.
So you're saying you have to be able to measure the performance of a link without actually interfering with the actual applications trying to use that link at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to have active monitoring, but with a very light network footprint.
So how do you make that trade-off?
Right. So we've been doing this for a while, but at 100 gig, it certainly is a challenge because you've got such a big pipe that you need to measure. And we're measuring things like total capacity and utilized capacity, as well as other standard kind of latency and network measurements. So flooding is a great way to get an accurate measure of, say, total capacity, but even short floods will impact those critical apps. Mm-hmm. Our goal is, you know, we need to be well under kind of 1% of the network capacity. In fact, a probe with our monitoring at 100 gig is around 0.16% total capacity.
So where's that probe running? Is that running on the host at the endpoint, or is that that's something sitting in line?
Right. So we have something that we call, well, our agents, we call them monitoring points, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they can be at one end or at both ends, and that gives you most insight into your network in both directions.
Right. So you're saying we're going to put an agent on the server, but the trick here is that the agent's got to be lightweight, and that means we can't, you know, if you're going to monitor 100 gigabits per second, you can't be generating 10 gigabits per second of data. Otherwise, you're going to saturate the bandwidth or consume it just in monitoring. So you're talking about reducing that consumption of the copy of the data into some fraction?
Yeah, so we're putting enough on the wire to fill it up, but only for a fraction. And yeah, like I said, we're using like a fraction of a percent of the total capacity of the network. And then but
so the agent must be doing some magic there. It must be counting and then sending summary data away to the analytics engine to do the analysis and to derive the information that we want.
Yeah, certainly the monitoring point like engineering team is very close with the Linux and all the interesting complexities in designing kind of at that speed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they had to step it up a level for sure, but the trick is to get the packets onto the wire as close as possible and right. be able to measure the precise packet timing.
So path test is this feature where you're doing the sampling and so forth. But if I'm on standardized sort of hardware, what sort of features are you doing? I mean, that just sounds to me like a boggling feat of engineering to render 100 gigabits per second down to less than 1% of traffic generated of summary data.
Right. So path test is actually within our product. Path test is a flooding tool that we provide. That the customers can use, which is not the continuous monitoring.
Okay,
Path test is our gold standard for basically the metrics that we need to get, but with a very light footprint. So we had to develop that because there's other tools like iperf and the kernel module, packetgen, which we were only able to get, you know, between 80 and 90% of a wire speed on gig.
Okay, so this is path test is a synthetic packet generator. I could run it on the weekend when the network's unloaded
exactly,
or not in critical points. I can fire it up and I can use that to measure the performance of the underlay.
Yeah, and we use it as our ruler, as our kind of gold standard. So when we're developing our continuous monitoring, we needed to make sure that it was in line with path test in this case.
Right.
So if I'm looking to do measurement at 100 gigabits per second, what did AppNet have to do internally to be able to measure that? You talked about a little bit about tweaking the Linux code. Is there also specialized hardware I have to deploy?
One of the constraints that we have for ourselves in being able to do this monitoring at this speed is that we're not dropping big iron. We're not putting a burden of very expensive monitoring points onto our customers, because our customers need to be able to deploy these monitoring points to hundreds or even thousands of locations.
Right.
And so we are using reasonably priced hardware, and it's in this software stack that we had to innovate to make sure that we were able to get the packets out as quickly and be able to measure on both ends.
And you're not just available on Linux, but you're also working on VMware platforms and as well?
Right. So at 100 gig, we have a dedicated monitoring point we call R1000. That's for deployment into data centers, and that measures at 100 gig. But the innovation and work that we've done at 100 gig also pays off in improving the accuracy in the other types of monitoring points we have, which includes much smaller gig-y monitoring points, but also software and virtual monitoring points for Docker deployments or VMware or KVM type of deployments, which don't take a physical monitoring point. Now, those can't run at 100 gig, but the innovations that we've done have
So what you're saying there, if I read that back to you, is when you're running at 100 gig, the innovations or the things that you've developed actually help you with all the speeds.
Yeah, because our monitoring points need to be able to scale. When we drop a monitoring point into a customer, puts it into their office, they need to be able to scale whether they're going over a sat link or whether Wi-Fi, and then up to giggy or 10 gig and ultimately 100 gig. So the same software stack has to be able to scale to those different types of networks.
And you're saying I can use AppNeta sort of across the spectrum. It's not just designed for these big fat pipes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got, and we have some models of monitoring points is getting out of the high speed 100 gig theme, but we do have some monitoring points that connect to connect over Wi-Fi to multiple SSIDs.
Yeah, I think the last three customers we've had approach us about deploying 100 gig active monitoring already had deployments that were in the hundreds of thousands of locations. So it's rare that we would just start with a 100 gig data center in Connect use case. But it's often the case that these will be deployed alongside, as Mike shared, hundreds or thousands looking at branch offices or properties or retail locations.
It's really interesting because 100 gigabits per second is becoming the normal. If you're building a data center today, 10 gig is obsolete, 40 gig is obsolete, and we're seeing 100 gig and 25 gig become the normal. And if you need to sample the data on those links, you do have to transform the way you think about things, because gigabit per second wasn't particularly difficult. 10 gigabits per second wasn't all that hard. But if you're building a new data center, you need to do this sort of monitoring, you need to step up. And I think guess the same applies for Wi-Fi in campus too, right?
It does. It does. You've got multiple SSIDs. You've got guest networks and printer networks and you know, user networks when it comes to a retail or a branch location like a bank. All of those have different implications when it comes to scale.
And I was just talking to someone today and he's getting 10 gigs in the WAN. Because they're using SD-WAN, they're now pulling 10 to 40 gigs in their WAN circuits because they're getting a lot of SD-WAN sites that are stepping up to gig each. And that's changing the nature of the WAN. Do you still work in that environment as well?
We do. We actually have some purpose-built monitoring points for SD-WAN use cases. We've got a gaming studio customer we're just talking to this week where they're deploying 15 hub locations all at interconnect 100 gig speeds. But they also have a tier of user locations that are going to be doing SD-WAN. So for them, they need a pretty large variety of specific hardware to cover those use cases.
So what I like about synthetic testing like what you're doing is it doesn't matter what network I'm using or what SD-WAN vendor I'm using. So I could be campus, Wi-Fi, 5G, 4G, SD-WAN, native, like IP routed. I'd have the same testing strategy to straddle all of my network wherever it is. And I think that's a key differentiator here.
That's right. It's not hampered by some of the limitations of, say, software sitting on a laptop that gets rebooted for, say, Windows updates or something like that. You really need to have a mature platform of monitoring points, both hardware, software, and cloud native.
So can you give me a sense of AppNeta's architecture? I think we touched on it a little bit. There's the software or agent-based monitoring points, but how does it all come together? How am I instrumenting and how am I deploying and analyzing?
So there are really two parts of the solution. The first is we've discussed here, the monitoring point. Those can be physical, virtual, or containerized, or even software instances. You'd put those at either end of the network path where your users and apps are stationed. So if you're deploying workloads to Azure, you'd want to put one there, and you'd want to put one at all of your user sites. That'll give you the best or dual-ended instrumentation. We do have flexibility there. All of those monitoring points from branch office to 100 gig data center will be managed by a server or an application. That's the user tier where users log in, where the data is stored, security and integration happens. About 95% of our users deploy our monitoring points alongside our public cloud service. We host that at AWS, but we also have a private deployment option. So if someone's running at maybe an alternate cloud provider to AWS and they want to put it there, Azure, say IBM Cloud or the like, or if they'd rather just put this in their own data center to have an on-prem option that never goes out their four walls, that's a private option that we maintain. And there's usually an element of integration. So our customers like to tie us into, let's say, an existing single sign-on environment or an external event and reporting workflow, whether it's powered by Slack or ServiceNow.
Okay. I think I like that I can deploy it at either end, my choice. So I could put it at one end, and if I need better data, I could buy more tools and expand the visibility and the monitoring.
That's absolutely right.
I like that. Start small, build big. That's it. Prove it out as it goes.
The other advantage of putting monitoring points at both ends is in the case of asymmetric networks, you're getting both the out path and the return path and be able to monitor those separately.
Well, that about wraps it up for the time we have. Adam and Mike, thank you for joining us. And where can listeners go if they want to get more information and drill down more into AppNeta?
It's our pleasure. Come visit us online at apneta.com/packet pushers.
All right. apneta.com/packet pushers. Thank you, Apneta, for being a sponsor. And thank you, our listeners, for listening. If you liked it, you can find this and many more fine, free technical podcasts, along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. You can follow us on Twitter at packetpushers, find us on LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, and rate us on Apple Podcasts. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.